This is the Giraffes Don't Eat Steak podcast, a show that brings you marketing stories, tips, hints, and much more. A treat for those who want to succeed in business or marketers who just want to learn.
Hello, Alex.
Good morning. How are you doing?
I am good. A little bit tired. It's been a very, very busy week. How about you?
I'm good. Also a little bit tired. I would like to say that I'm in a very posh podcast studio, but I am not. I am currently just in an apartment, and there seems to be a battle of the music wars going on between the buildings. So yes, I think I'm getting old, and because I'm getting grumpy with the different rhythms coming into my apartment.
Yeah, I think you're getting old. I'm younger than you in that regard, though, because I still like all the variations. So I'm going to hold on to it. I'm going to keep it.
That's good. That's good for you.
So are you in your new apartment? Because last time I think you were looking for an apartment.
Not yet.
Cool.
Not yet. Still in the...
Still negotiating.
Yeah, exactly.
Awesome.
In the process.
So yesterday, you know me, I joined lots of webinars and online course. I like learning and reading and finding out new stuff. So I joined this AI in marketing, specifically a marketing AI webinar yesterday, and was really fascinated because this guy showed us how he used ChatGPT to not only define the possible objections that customers could have to the product, but then also write the responses for salespeople to use to counter those objections. It was so fabulous. And wow. It made me think about when you and I were managing call centers and looking after call centers. It took us hours to think about all the possible objections, and we had to listen to calls, remember, to go.
Yeah. I mean, that's what I was going to say. It's not just thinking, it's about going trawling through all of the data that we have, and the call recordings we have. And then obviously as well, the added challenge of working in foreign or overseas call centers, where you're working in five different languages, and as intelligent as we are, we don't know five languages, at least not more than I am a man eating an apple.
I'm a woman eating apple. I know that one.
But yeah,
I can do that in Spanish now too.
That's good. Very important. Although the apples I'm in Colombia at the moment, and the apples here aren't as good as the apples in the UK, I have to say.
Really? But your Evos are better, so you win.
Way better, yeah. Way better. And much cheaper, significantly cheaper than the avocados in the UK.
Wow. Okay, you win. You win. I love an avocado.
Anyway, sidetracked. That is a huge, huge game changer in terms of for the call centers.
In general, technology over the time that we've been, you know, working together, etc. You know, when we met, I was busy with voice analytics, which was the technology to basically translate those calls into data that we could do, you know, get reports on the most commonly used phrases or, you know, objections or even sentiment analysis. If you remember that, you know, if customers ended angry, the call would be flagged red, etc. So that technology already saved us so much time and space. But now adding this in terms of script writing, how to pitch the product properly, ChatGPT, and then objection handling, you know, what's the most common objection? I can't afford it, which is not a real objection. There's other rationale, right?
Exactly.
I was really blown away. Like yes. So now almost every call, someone says, let's do this. I'm like, let's ask ChatGPT.
Yeah. And the interesting thing as well is that ChatGPT somehow has managed to weave its way into our working life without too much of a of rejection of change. So just because you made me think about the voice analytics that you were talking about. Yeah. So I remember there was quite a a resistance to change on that, because probably it would be starting to show things that some people in call centers don't want to know or to be made visible to senior staff.
Yeah, I mean, that in particular, that was used for, well, the business case was approved based on compliance, right? Because in especially in insurance and financial institutions, you are regulated. And therefore, there are certain things that by law you have to say on a call. You have to tell someone the call is recorded. You have to explain who you are and where you're calling from. You have to give the full benefits of the product and you know, and also all the exclusions. You have to explain to them what's not covered, even though from a salesperson perspective, it feels counterintuitive to go and explain all the bad stuff before the person said yes. And for sales agents, they'd rather skip that part, right? Because it's counterintuitive to go through all of that stuff when actually I just want you to give me money. And then how, as the manager of that call center or the business owner using that call center, do you safeguard yourself? Because if someone is fined, it's you, right? And so, yes, there was pushback. In fact, one of the countries gave me pushback that they didn't want to be recorded and monitored. And I'm going, no, I'm not putting cameras in the toilets. It's a completely different ballgame. This is the job I'm paying you for. Mm-hmm. And I'm allowed to monitor what you're saying. It's different, right?
Yeah. I mean, we're just monitoring for your performance against the training that we've given to you, that you've taken on.
The contractual agreement, right? It's the you agree contractually to adhere to mm-hmm. to what we say. So that's where it is.
I think that's that kind of technology, though, I think is incredible, because it enables you to scale. It enables you to really understand what's going on. A call center of 50 people is, you need a huge amount of time to trawl through everybody's calls that they're doing and understand really the performance of each employee and the sentiment that the public is having on your product when they're going through the sales process. Mm. Having a tool that you can go tick, 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 and find out the answers is incredible.
Yeah, and I fell in love with it, because before that, we were doing, because you had to do quality control in your call centers, and I managed the 52 call centers across Europe, if you remember. And we could only, from a time-based perspective, listen to 10% of calls, like, because I had a whole quality team, but I would have to have a quality team the equivalent size of my sales force if I wanted to listen to 100% of calls. Where with the tool, I was able to listen to 100% of calls instantly, and only have my quality team pick up the anomalies, right? And validate the anomalies. So it really was a game changer in terms of time saving, in terms of actually giving the quality team a valid job to do. I mean, how mind numbing must the job be of just listening to calls over and over and over all day? This way, you had a much more analytical job of taking the report and saying, oh, Mary often gets sentence number two wrong. I can focus my training on that. Instead of wasting everyone's time doing sentence number two, focus on the few people who are struggling with it. And so everyone got tailored training on what they needed as well, right?
Yeah, and it doesn't just stop there at the sales, at the benefits of the sales. It has effects on the development of the product, on the development of pricing and marketing as well. There's a huge amount of insights you can get from there. How are people responding to the marketing messaging? How are they responding to the packaging of the product, the contents of the product, the pricing of the product? It's actually a business-wide a tool that can benefit the business from each department, really. It's not just a sales department tool.
No, and I mean, it depends on your hierarchy. I used compliance to get it across the board, but I actually wanted it for marketing. But, you know, you can't, it depends on the organization, but most organizations are not going to invest in technology for marketing unless you can guarantee an ROI. But at least with compliance, here's the size of the fine. This is the size of the investment. The size differential tells you that it's a no-brainer. Plus then all these other benefits that came from it, right? Including marketing. And in marketing, one of the benefits was a word cloud. Because part of our job is to put our marketing messages in the language of the consumer. But we are hardly ever the consumer, right?
Rarely.
So then we don't speak like that. So how do we find out what words they're saying, what words they're using? Ah, this tool just kicked it out. You got a word cloud going, this is what the customers are saying, this is what they talk about. Great, make sure those words are in our material, right?
Yeah, exactly. And you did a very clever thing by taking it through on a compliance angle, because it seems like you knew your customer.
I did. You knew
they wouldn't sign off on a marketing tool, but they would sign off on a compliance tool. So,
yes, well they may have signed off a marketing tool, but it probably would have been 5 years later than I got it. So, so yes, it was about understanding the buttons. And then back to this next wave of technology, right? This ChatGPT, and I know we've had an episode about it, but really looking into, and again, the message is, you know, don't just use it and then copy paste. Use it as the baseline. And I was sharing with someone yesterday, let it do the heavy lifting, and then you get to review and edit. I need to start a survey with another client, and she was like, oh, I don't know where to start with the questions. I'm like, let's ask ChatGPT what would be good questions to ask. And then we've got a baseline to edit and put in our language, change it, going, oh, no, that's not a good question. Or, oh, okay, that's an interesting question. Because it's much easier to have something to work off than to sit with a blank piece of paper and go, where do I start, right?
Yeah, it definitely saves a lot of time. I was actually working on a presentation yesterday, just trying to help describe a product. And I had a lot of information about the product, but I was just struggling to find like an initial starting point for how to illustrate it. And I just asked ChatGPT, I said, here's all the text. Can you just give me an idea of an illustrative concept? And it came out. And actually, I didn't use the concept at all. But what it did is it gave me a starting point of, oh, that, okay. And it just generated an idea. Okay, that's cool. I'll start from there. And it did create a little bit of a structure within the illustration, but I used a completely different illustration in the end, but it did a lot of the hard work for me. It pulled out the main points, put them into an order. And then I used that and I built my own concept of how to present that product. But it did all the hard work, not the hard work, but the initial upfront work that you're talking about, and it saves so much time sometimes. It's brilliant.
And another tool I think we looked at about a year or two ago, you know, when we were doing TV ads and you had to book media, do you remember that? And we sat with Excel spreadsheets mapping out which TV show on which day and which time, and even in which break, you know, we wanted our ad in the first break or the second break or the third break or the first half of the second break or the, based on what our target audience was watching. Do you remember how much time that took? And then we would send that to the agency going, book these slots. I mean, it was hours of our lives. And then of course, you know, meeting with that guy from Sky, and he was like, no, this tool does all of it for you. And you just say, only book me slots with this age group. And you only pay if they actually watching.
Yeah.
Mind blowing. Like literally. Yeah. Yes, yeah. Please. Like hours on an Excel spreadsheet versus, and even then reconciliation. Do you remember those days? Then you got the posts slot back, and then you map to say, oh, no, you were supposed to give me a slot on Wednesday during this soap opera, and you didn't. So I want some money back because you put it in the sports section, and we don't have anything. Like, it was like a nightmare.
Yeah. No, I love it. And I love these technological advancements, and they just allow me to do more. I think there's two types of people who embrace it and think, okay, that's great, that opens up more opportunities for me. Other people who might think, oh no, it's taking my job.
I love the Excel spreadsheet.
Yeah, I love the Excel spreadsheet. I just want to do that all day long. You know, there's two types.
Yeah.
And
Well, lucky both of us. Well, I'm not that great with tech. It takes me a while, but then when I get it, I get it.
no, but it's not
So
like you have a fear of the technology. It's just takes you some time to understand
get it. You
it.
could be, it's okay. I'm honest. I know marketing, right? If you want me to know tech, you need a different person. That's not me. But once I get it, I can get it. So yeah, I'm not scared of new tech. I look for ways that I can make my life, my clients' lives better, faster, simpler, right? Like, and I think that's the important thing. It's not, and then frees me up to do strat work, think work, like the stuff I actually love doing, right? I did not love mapping Excel spreadsheets hour after hour. I did not love listening to hundreds of calls, trying to understand what the themes were, what the general customer feedback was. I didn't enjoy that stuff. I did it. It was part of my job. But now, having all that info on tap, it's a no-brainer.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. So what's your key takeaway from this? I guess it's the technological podcast.
I think so. I mean, for me, I've signed up to a course on utilizing AI in marketing now because I want to know more. I think, and that's what I would encourage anyone in marketing is just keep learning, keep your, keep an open mind, keep learning, go just go. And I'm always doing courses and stuff. I love learning new stuff, but then put it into practice. Try it. You can't break it. Give it a
No.
try, right? What's the worst that's going to happen? Is it's going to give you a dud. Okay, then thanks to like that. But yeah, give it a try and see how it makes your life better. What's your key takeaway?
Yeah, mine would be don't look at technology as taking your job. Look at it as giving you an opportunity to create more, innovate more, create space for more thinking, and allows you to do more. Look at it as a new opportunity rather than oh my God, it's taking my Excel job.
Awesome. Well, great chatting as usual, Alex.
Yep.
Maybe we
Right.
need to get a ChatGPT specialist on. I don't know if I know anyone. I'll have to
An AI specialist. I know we know robotic man in Poland.
Oh, yeah, that's true. Sure, we actually do know a lot of people.
Yeah.
Right. We are
All right.
lining up some guests. Because that worked really, really well with Mikael. So look out for some more guests on Giraffes Don't Eat Steak. Otherwise, we will see you at the next episode.
Thank
Cheers,
you. Bye.
Alex.
Cheers. Bye. That wraps up this episode of Giraffes Don't Eat Steak. Thanks for joining us. I hope you found value in our discussion and got some new ideas to apply to your own business. Tune in next week for another round of marketing insights and inspiration. If you enjoyed this episode, please leave us a review and subscribe on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you listen to podcasts. We appreciate you listening. Catch you next time on Giraffes Don't Eat Steak.